All right, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. You know, I made a commitment the first of the year to you on Sunday night. And that was that on Sunday nights we're going to do the master's class. We're going to examine these great men, great spiritual giants of God. And we're going to pick out one thing that we're going to emphasize each Sunday night, and we're going to share that with you, and hopefully you will emphasize that one thing during the week as you live. Do you know how hard it is for a preacher to preach one thing? It's just next to impossible, but I'm trying really hard, okay? And tonight is no exception. I want you to get one thing. Now, I'm going to have to tell you a couple things to get you there, right? But tonight, we're going to look at Noah, the man who found grace with God. And let's stand as we look to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. That's not my scripture. That might have been the scripture I put in, but that's not my scripture. So we'll just go there. Get your Bibles out. And that's my fault, I'm sure, when I put it in, because I'm the one that puts that in. So, you know, I don't blame anybody else. That's all on me. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you today, knowing that without you, we're nothing. And so, Lord, we approach your throne of grace this evening asking for guidance in your word. That you would cause your word to come alive within us. That we'll see those things that we need to see. That will help us to grow. That we may glorify you through our lives. Lord, I pray your will be done. As I present myself to you, to be used as it pleases you for your honor and for your glory. Speak your truth through me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, now that we got the verses right, the emphasis, the focus tonight is, of course, Noah. Noah found grace. My question is why? You know, if somebody was going to write a little one-liner about you, what would they write? Well, for me, he was a long-winded preacher. For you, you have to fill in the blank. But what a line when the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. My first question, of course, why did Noah find grace? Well, we look in the text that we read and it says Noah was a just man. I want you to know he was a just man in an unjust world. The word just means to be right in conduct or character. And to put it into our language, that Noah was simply a man that was right with God. Okay? That's the first reason he found grace in the eyes of God. Second reason he found grace in the eyes of God. It says Noah was a perfect man. He was a perfect man in an imperfect generation. That word perfect, of course, as we say perfect, we think absolutely without flaw or fault. That's not what that means. That word, the Hebrew word, literally means to be sound or healthy. So Noah was a spiritually sound, a spiritually healthy man in an unhealthy generation. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, at this point, the day that Noah was living in. We read about it. It says in verse 5 of the same chapter that we read, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great, and that every intent of his heart was evil." Verse 11, "The earth was corrupt and filled with violence." Verse 12, "All flesh had corrupted their way." So everywhere Noah looked, he saw sin and corruption. It was, for lack of a better word, pitiful. In the day of Noah. Now, I find it very interesting that Noah was living in such a sinful time, and yet he was a just man, a spiritually healthy man in such an environment. Because haven't we all used the excuse today of our world is in just such terrible shape? Our kids are tempted more than they've ever been tempted. We're tempted more than we've ever been tempted. No, we're not. We're not. Today is no worse than the day that Noah lived in. And Noah was a just man, a spiritually healthy man, A man that did not allow sin to control his life. A man who was a spiritual giant in a bankrupt world. So never act like, well, the world is just so bad, you can't help but let it affect you today. Oh, yes, you can. Here's the spiritual giant that did. Then number three, and here's where I get to where I want you to go. Noah walked with God. Does that sound familiar? Last week we studied about a fellow. His name was Enoch. And the thing that stood out about Enoch was Enoch walked with God. Do you realize there's only two people in all of the Bible that the Scripture describes as walking with God? Only two. There's Enoch and there's Noah. I mean, we've got David, a man after God's own heart. David's son Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. But the Scripture does not make that statement about another man walking with God as it makes of these two men. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought, where did Noah get that? He's living in a corrupt, terrible generation. Sin is everywhere he looks. How was he that man that walked with God? I'll tell you how. You back up a couple of generations to where we were last Sunday night. It says, of course, in verse 24 that Enoch walked with God. Now, let me give you the genealogy here. Enoch was the first man who walked with God. Enoch had a son. And his son was Methuselah. Methuselah had a son. And his son was Lamech. Lamech had a son. And his son was Noah. Do you see the connection here? Do you see the connection? It started with Enoch. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb here when I say that Enoch, and we studied last week how that Enoch had a reputation, and the reputation was he pleased God and that he walked with God. Everybody knew it. And that reputation did not die when God took Enoch. It lived on. It lived on in his son Methuselah. It lived on in Methuselah's son, grandson of Enoch, who was Lamech. Can you imagine, if you will, Lamech sitting down with his son, Noah, and telling him, "Let me tell you about your great-grandfather. His name was Enoch. And he was known everywhere by everybody as the man who walked with God. Can you imagine that being passed down? Enoch is long gone, and I don't know how many years it's been. I didn't add them all. But it's been hundreds of years since this guy passed. And then he has a great-grandson that the Scripture says this great-grandson walked with God. Any idea why? Because he got it from his great-granddaddy. Okay? It had been passed down. Now, it doesn't say it about Methuselah. It doesn't say it about Lamech. But it says it about Noah. Noah knew his great-grandfather. So how does that apply to us? Well, it just so happens that it is very much applicable today. You see, here's the point I want you to get. Your testimony is extremely important. And not only is it extremely important with the people out there, it is extremely important in your family. Do you realize your testimony begins in your family? Amen. You have no idea the person that's going to be your grandson or your granddaughter. Or your great-grandson or your great-granddaughter. You know, I heard all my life, you can be the president of the United States. Well, I mean, think about it. Somebody's going to be the next president of the United States. It just might be your child or your grandchild. I realize if they're teenagers right now, you're saying, boy, I hope he's not the next president, right? But can you imagine a president of the United States that has a heritage of a parent or a grandparent that has such a relationship with God that that child cannot help but walk in the same path? Your testimony is vital. Noah found grace because he walked with God. Noah walked with God because he had heard about his great-grandfather, Enoch, who also walked with God. And it was passed down from generation to generation. See, that's the way those people were. Family's everything, you know, in that environment and for those people, right? These guys knew their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers, and they knew what they did. Noah was no exception. And Enoch, as I said, hundreds of years before, the story of Enoch had made such an impact on the life of Noah that says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah was the guy that God chose to continue humanity. I mean, had it not been for Noah, where would we be? We wouldn't. There was one man in the entire earth that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't Noah's sons. It wasn't Noah's wife. It was Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, I thought about this and I thought, wow. I wonder, we may be raising the next Billy Graham in this church. You may be raising the next president of the United States or the next great political leader of our nation. If you think your life is not important, you are sadly mistaken. You have an influence. And you may be a teenager, but you have an influence. Because the little guys are looking up to the teenagers, right? Teenagers, you know, the young adults, they tend to look up at the older adults, or I hope they do. Your testimony is going to influence somebody. When they write, if you pass away, the Lord doesn't come back, and you pass away, and they write something on your grave marker, what are they going to write? This man walked with God. This man found grace in the eyes of God. this man had a testimony, or this woman had a testimony that nobody will ever forget. I was thinking about, Beth and I were talking about this afternoon, and there is a dear lady that came to Beth's mind, and immediately when she mentioned it, came to my mind. Her name's Aveline McCann, and I'll ask you to pray for this lady. She's roughly 90 years old, somewhere in that ballpark, mid-80s. But you will not have a five-minute conversation without her telling you about Jesus. And she'll tell you how much she loves Jesus. And how much she hopes you love Jesus too. And if you don't love Jesus, she'll tell you how much you need Jesus. Okay? If there was ever a lady that I would never question that loved Jesus, Aveline McCann loves Jesus. Okay? And she has babied kids in the church in Lone Oak her entire life, pointing them toward Jesus. And I just see the teenagers through the years looking, oh, she's going to talk about Jesus again. Oh, she's going to talk about Jesus again. But she was diagnosed with liver cancer here a couple months ago. And Aveline is a lady that she's ready to go. It's all right. But when my daughter Andrea heard about it, you know what she said? She said, I got to go see her. That lady was instrumental in the life of my daughter. Okay? And I'll be eternally grateful to her for the godly influence that she had upon my daughter. We don't stop and realize how important what we're doing is. You may think, I'm doing no good. Listen, you're doing good if you're testifying, if your life testifies of Jesus, you're doing good. But Brother Doug, I'm not seeing any results. You're not promised to see results. You keep testifying. You keep living it. You keep declaring Jesus Christ. You let everybody know, because you don't know who's in your family lineage and what effect they'll have on the future of this church and of this nation. Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of God. I would suggest to you tonight that he was a man that found grace because he walked with God. I would also suggest that he was a man who walked with God because he knew the stories of his great-grandfather, Enoch, who walked with God, and God took him. Let's do the same. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me share with you this one thing, all right? Jesus loves you. He loved you so much, he went to Calvary on your behalf to pay for your sins. You're a sinner. You've done wrong. We all have. Amen? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. There's no other avenue. You'll never be good enough. It's not church membership. It's about going through Jesus. Have you called upon Him for salvation? If you have not, let's take care of that tonight. I want to share a little Sister Aveline with you. You need Jesus. Okay? You need Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, you need to make that commitment. Repent of your sin, turn around, and give your life to Jesus. We're going to have an invitation to give you that opportunity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for these great men of the Bible, the scriptures that we can learn from, that we can grow by seeing their example. And Lord, help us to be reminded tonight of the influence that we have among our family members. We may not think we're doing any good. We may not see the good that we're doing. But Lord, we know a testimony is important. And we do not know the far-reaching effect that our testimonies could have through our children, our grandchildren, even our great-grandchildren. Heavenly Father, help us to live it. Help us to display our love for you every day that we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.